Hey, footy fans, in case you're not aware, the Fox League app is a thing. It's a thing that's free to download, and the thing is simply called Fox League. That's all it is, just league-specific, and specifically an app called Fox League. News, stats, highlights, and scores available free on the App Store and Google Play and things. We check in with reporters from both Camp Blue and Camp Maroon on today's Splash, finding out everything going on from trivial to pivotal. It's Friday, and it's now June.
It's time for your daily dose of sporting agenda, your audio edition of the Fox Sports homepage, The Splash with your host, Phil Pryor.
We are just 5 sleeps away from the first Origin encounter of 2018, so we're going to try and find out everything going on in and around the camps happening on either side of the border in the build-up to Wednesday night's State of Origin 1 down at the MCG in Melbourne, of course. So in the Blues camp, we have Chief NRL reporter for the Fox Sports website, Simon Brunston, who will join us in a moment. I flipped a coin and it came up Blues first and then Queensland, the Maroons second. Fox Sports News 500 reporter Mark Gottlieb is at Sanctuary Cove finding out all the details and breaking some stories that are happening up in Queensland right now in Maroons camp. So we will first call Simon Brunston, and then it's up to Queensland to check in with Mark Gottlieb. So let's get into today's Splash. Joining me from Blues camp is newly appointed NRL chief newsbreaker for the Fox League digital team, Simon Brunston. How are we?
What an introduction. Thanks, Phil. Good to be here.
Yeah, we just lost the great Nathan Ryan, of course, market watch extraordinaire to the Newcastle Knights media team, and you are filling his shoes, and might I say, doing a stand-up job, having broken some good yarns for the website over the last couple of days. Of course, you revealed how the Blues camp, in particular, Greg Alexander, decided to pair the players up in terms of which room they will stay in camp. Yeah, tell us about that. So, and I believe you're actually kind of staying with the team in camp as well.
Yeah, so I'm camped out at we're at the Crown Plaza here on Coogee Beach, beautiful hotel right on the beach here in Coogee. So basically, I'm camped out here covering it for Fox Sports, but the team are all here. And as you mentioned, I sat down with Brandy on Wednesday, and he sort of ran through exactly who's rooming with who, how he paired them all up. Essentially, if you didn't read the story, what he's done is paired the players up how they'll stand next to each other in the defensive line. So he's got the left centre wing combo. So Latrell Mitchell, Josh Adakar, then right centre wing. And then he's got Jimmy Maloney with the fullback, James Tedesco. He's got Nathan Cleary with Big Tyson Frizzell, who actually be his bodyguard on Wednesday night
on that,
at the
on
MCG.
Inside the right centre wing combo.
Yeah, so he wants to get those two acquainted over the next week or so. So when they run out on the field, they know each other very well.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a no-brainer to me. Why hasn't this been done for years?
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of it isn't new. I think obviously this is the first time Brandy's been an official advisor, but I think a lot of his ideas are probably just adopted from past camps as well, such as I think he told me the captain on even Kangaroos tours and in Origin camps, the captain always gets his own room. The downside of that is Brandy reckons Boyd Cordner's feeling a little bit lonely this week. He's camped out Ty himself and Brandy actually told me he reckons Boyd Corner's been leaving his door open so that people might just wander in so he can have some company.
And probably just feeling a little bit better than everyone else. I'm not sure I like this tradition.
Yeah, not sure about that one, but I guess the coach gets the penthouse and the captain gets his own room, which I guess is the one below the coach.
Yeah, and one of the big, I suppose, performing stories of the week was you finding out how Aaron Woods actually kind of found out that he'd missed out, which sounded pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. So basically, Canterbury played on Sunday afternoon and Big Woodsy and his best mate, David Clemmer, obviously played for the Doggies and then they were just hanging out later that night. And Clem got the phone call and he was told, you're in Blues camp, show up tomorrow morning. And when Woodsy's phone didn't ring, he sort of, I think it just dawned on him then that, all right, I've been left out of the team. But that's, I mean, it's pretty rough seeing as Woodsy has played, since he made his debut, he's played 14 consecutive Origin games. He hasn't missed one in 14 games.
Is he up to 14?
14 games, yeah. It's
wow.
Long stretch, isn't it? I didn't realise Woods had been playing that long either. But
yeah.
Well, I think my maths is terrible, but I think 2013 must have been his debut in game two.
Yeah.
I think. And then he hasn't missed a game since. He's played every one for New South Wales. So it's a pretty remarkable record.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's one of the longest serving Blues in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
But one of their loyal servants. But yeah, he didn't make the cut this time.
Yeah, very... very interesting stuff. So how has the camp been overall in Coogee? I suppose something that a lot of people are talking about is some of Brad Fittler's more alternative ideas about health and well-being. And I suppose as the resident holistic health advocate here at Fox Sports, I'm on board. I'm a big proponent of the. Of living as much life barefoot as possible, but I'm not sure what a couple of walks on the down at the local park is going to do overall in terms of performance for an upcoming Origin match.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. He's a little bit kooky, Freddie, but I mean, it can't do any harm. And if the players or if Freddie thinks it might give them some advantage, then I'd all power to them, I say. But yeah, they're doing things like, as you mentioned, they're walking around with no shoes on. Freddie wants them to walk on grass and earth to, you know, soak in the natural minerals or the power of the earth or something like that. Plus, they're doing things like, I think they did yoga. On Tuesday night, they had a very interesting bonding session. Tuesday night was their bonding night. They went out and had a few beers, but they also went to a salsa dancing clinical lessons or something like that. So all the boys were all the boys paired up and they were salsa dancing with each other. But Freddie, I mean, in terms of the camp, in terms of a news angle, I mean, it's been fairly placid, I guess you'd say. Not boring at all, but I mean, it's, you know, there's been no real scandals, no injury clouds, no one's been out on the drink misbehaving. It's all been very Freddie's got the boys under control. They're all happy. They're all buying into this new culture that he's setting. So I think it's going quite well so far.
How strict has Freddie been with the playing group? I mean, it seems these days like they've all probably just learnt from previous mistakes in any case. But then you would have thought that it would have been at that situation last year. And then obviously Blake Ferguson and Josh Dugan decided to drive down the road and go on a bender. So has Freddie had to really involve himself too much in terms of knowing what the playing group are getting up to in their spare time?
Not at all. It's been the exact opposite. I think two things have happened. I think, first of all, Freddie has purposely gone and selected these players
that he can trust
that he has trust in for their personality, and secondly, Freddie got the group together when they all arrived here in camp on Monday, and he didn't lay down the law at all. That's not what happened. I think he just fronted the playing group and had a very open and honest conversation with them about why they're here, you know, how they got selected, you know. And then on Tuesday night during the bonding session, guys like Brandy Alexander, who's an advisor, Blocker Roach, Matt King, a lot of them stood up and actually gave speeches. And from what I hear, it was pretty emotional. And I think a lot of the players It's not a case of, Freddie hasn't put any restrictions on them. He hasn't put a booze ban in place. The boys went out and had beers on Tuesday night, and I hear a lot of them had a bit of a sleep in on Wednesday morning. It was their day off, possibly nursing slight hangovers. But I went and had lunch at Coogee Bay Hotel, and a few of the boys were there on Wednesday, having lunch and possibly having a beer at lunch. And other guys were down the beach relaxing, having a bit of a sunbathe. So, and last night I think we saw the footy at Brookvale. The two Trbojevic brothers, Tom and Jake, were actually there in the coaches' box supporting their Manly teammates. So, not at all. I think Freddie said to the guys, "Look, you're obviously here for a reason. I want to trust you. Please, repay that faith, repay the trust." And I think all the players are doing that so far.
Look, I must admit, as a Blues fan, I'm incredibly concerned that there's going to be 11 out of the 17 players playing in Origin 1 at the MCG next week as debutants. I think that's too many, if you ask me, because Origin is a different beast, and we've seen what an experienced Queensland side has done over the last 12-year stretch, or whatever it is. How do you think, is it things like getting the blocker to address the group and that kind of stuff that that Freddie reckons will be enough to overcome that? Or what sort of measures do you think they might be taking to nullify the inexperience of this group?
Well, when you talk about experience, there's guys here who have played Origin before, Boyd Cordner, Tyson Brazil, Jimmy Maloney. So a lot of the guys aren't new to it. As you say, 11 of them are, which is a very big number of debutants. But as you mentioned, having guys like Blocker, Brandy Alexander, they've got Danny Badiris, Joey Johns was here yesterday as assistant coach. Like having guys like that in and around camp and constantly just here for the boys to lean on. I was talking to Blocker Roach yesterday, and he sort of told me, it's not my place to go and seek out players. I'm just here, I hang around, and if the players want to come and have a chat to me or want to ask me any questions, and then I'm here and they can do that. And they have been doing that. They've been going and talking to guys like Blocker and talking to guys like Alexander and Bedsy and Joey and Freddie's the coach, obviously. So as much as there's 11 debutants, I think Freddie's put a really good team together of Blues legends, absolute legends of the New South Wales Origin team. And I think, their job is to instill the passion in the jumper and remind the guys of the history and sort of the guys that have been here and done it before. So I don't think they're going to have any problem with 11 debutants. I mean, we look at Queensland and they're missing Thurston, Cronk, Smith. Matt Gillett's not going to be there.
No,
Like,
Matt Scott.
Darius Boyd's out of the team. Matt Scott's out of the team. So it's pretty even keel, I'd say, at the moment in terms of Origin experience on both sides.
Probably about time that Andrew Johns checked in for duty as well, rather than just pot-shotting from the Channel 9 post-game panel, I suppose.
Possibly, yeah.
And I'm just thinking out loud here. Jack DeBellin, obviously he's one of the 11 debutants going into this game, but he's been involved in the camp last year. I'm trying to think, are there any others in that boat that are playing their first Origin game, but have been in the frame previously?
Well, there's guys like you look at a Regan Campbell-Gillard who hasn't played Origin before. I have a feeling he may have been in camp last year, but he hasn't played Origin before. But he's actually played for the Kangaroos. He played a World Cup last year, and he played with guys like David Clemmer, like Tyson Frizzell, Jimmy Maloney. Like he's actually been there and played big representative games of footy on the international stage. So he'll have no problem. There is guys here who are absolutely just green. Josh Addo-Carr, Latrell Mitchell, guys like that haven't really been here or done anything like this before. So, yeah, there are a lot of green guys, but I think there's enough experience in the team to sort of even that out.
Yeah, fair enough. What now, mate? So they're at Coogee. Obviously, the game is being played in a different city down there in Melbourne. So what happens now with the camp? I believe you are at training right now. Any scoops Hot off the press at Coogee Oval. No one's rolling
not right
an ankle.
Now. I can tell. I'm not sure if you can hear the boys in the background, but
yeah,
they're doing an opposed session at the moment. Okay. Half the team's wearing. It looks like maybe the left hand side. I think is wearing the left hand side of the attacking team is wearing orange bibs, and they're going up against the right hand side in a bit of an opposed session. But I'm currently standing under an awning because it's belting down rain and it's freezing cold. So,
but is James Roberts out there? Quick one.
James Roberts is, I'm looking at him right now. He's on the right centre. He's inside Tom Trbojevic, who's right wing.
So he's
training today. He was the story of Tuesday. They had their first training run and he only did about 50%. He looked very ginger, but I went out to Homebush yesterday and he looked much better. He was doing most of the running and he appears to be running, maybe not 100% just yet, but we're still 5 days out from game day. So,
yeah.
And speaking to the assistant coaches and everyone in the team, there's no sort of question mark over Jimmy Roberts at all.
Yeah.
But he might have to needle up, because it is a managing thing, right? Yeah, I mean, it's an Achilles injury. They might put a needle in it on game day. I think that's Jack DeBellum sort of was talking about having needles the other day in his hip.
Yeah.
He sort of said that's last resort almost because you can needle it up and you can get through the game, but he said afterwards, the next 24 hours after the game is just hell. It's just pain.
Yeah.
Pain, pain, pain. So yeah. I think that's last resort. I think looking at Jimmy Roberts, I'm not sure what sort of medical he's had on the Achilles today, this morning, but he seems to be moving pretty well out there. So I'd say he'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
But after today, they trained at Coogee this morning. They'll sort of brief this afternoon. I think they might, I'm not sure if they'll do another similar sort of bonding thing tonight. I imagine they'll have something planned because tomorrow's a day off.
Yeah.
They got Saturday off, so they might, I'd imagine I'm going to hang around Coogee tonight and hopefully bump into a few of the boys at Coogee Pav or Coogee Bay Hotel. They might be having a few beers again.
Yeah.
So they'll have tomorrow off. They can obviously chill out. The Sydney guys might be able to hang out with their family or whatever before they have a training run at the SCG on Sunday morning.
Okay.
And I think the idea of that is to get used to, obviously, they're playing at the MCG Wednesday night. So I think maybe just have one training run. I think I'm hearing it's going to be a pretty big session Sunday morning at the SCG here in Sydney. And then they shower up, head to the airport and fly down to Melbourne. So they'll be in Melbourne Sunday night.
Yeah, okay, interesting. And then, I suppose from there, maybe just a light captain's run on Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, I think if I can remember the schedule off the top of my head, I think they train Monday morning. I'm 90% certain they train at the MCG on Monday morning.
Okay.
And then Tuesday is their captain's run where they'll do a full, it'll be their biggest training session, I'd say, as in they'll actually practice some drills and some plays on the MCG.
Yeah.
And interestingly, that's the only media. That's the only training session of the entire week that's closed.
Yeah,
to media.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean,
but then they'll go and do Then they'll go and do that classic media PR thing where they're playing, one of those fun games, chuck the ball to one another, and you got to clap and then catch it. That kind of stuff.
Something like that. Yeah, they'll play, piggy in the middle or something like that. But then that one's closed. That's on Tuesday, the captain's run. So obviously that'll be their biggest session. And then I think they'll just get up Wednesday morning and have a bit of a wander around Melbourne as they always do and have a coffee and hydrate and do all the things they have to do leading up to the game.
Go and soak in some of the Melbourne atmosphere.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe get on a tram or something. I'm not sure what happens in Melbourne on a Wednesday morning, but whatever it is, I'm sure the boys will find something to do. Hopefully the weather's all right, because at the moment in Coogee, as I said, it's freezing and it's wet. So hopefully Melbourne does a bit of Sydney Day swap roles. And
they might have to cop that down. They might have to cop that down at down in Melbourne on Wednesday. So it's probably not a bad thing. Whereas Queensland, they might be soaking up the 28 degrees and sunny right now up at Sanctuary Cove. We'll find out in a moment when Mark Gottlieb joins us.
Yeah. I don't think the coaches will be too disappointed that it's raining and cold here today because, as you say, it might be good preparation for Wednesday night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll leave it there, Simon. Thank you very much for informing us of everything going on in Camp Blue right now.
All good, mate. Thank you.
On the run around, it comes out here. Coots. Oh, the jab again. What a hit. George Tafua jumping off his line and producing one of the hits of the season on Justin O'Neill.
Wow. Well, how did he get up?
Human missile. How do you feel, Justin O'Neill?
Yeah, that was a pretty solid hit last night at Brookvale Oval, at Lotto Land, as the Cowboys ran away to take a crucial 2 points, basically keeping their season alive. Just one of the four NRL matches happening in round 13 over this weekend, because it's all Origin chatter and it's time to head up to Queensland. Queensland correspondent for Fox Sports News 500, Mark Gottlieb, joins us from Maroons camp on the Gold Coast at Sanctuary Cove. Welcome to the Splash, Mark.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I got to say, if you came up above the border and you said Maroons, they'd be kicking you out instantly, mate. It's always up here. You got to say Maroons. Maroons in Queensland.
I have it on good authority, in fact, that we've been mispronouncing the word for far too long. And the correct pronunciation is, in fact, Maroons.
Well, unless we're all stuck on an island, I don't know if that's necessarily true. But I will say, look, you can call it what you want. I'll just say up here in Queensland, it is Maroons. And anyone who says different, can get out of the state. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly not a Queenslander, so I don't really care, to be honest. but to remain consistent with what I've been saying throughout the podcast, I'm going with Maroons, and I'm sticking with it. You do what you want. speaking of Maroon, actually, I just saw you on your most recent Fox Sports News 500 cross, a live cross from Sanctuary Cove, and you are wearing a maroon jacket. Is that okay?
Oh, it's good fashion up here. Good fashion. I will say, I have been getting a lot of stick from people in New South Wales. I used to live in Sydney for 7 or 8 years. I've been getting a lot of stick down there for wearing blue suits and blue jackets on air. So they were saying you can't be a true Queenslander until you wear something maroon. So I put on the maroon jacket, and I thought I felt quite fashionable, to be honest. But apparently, a few people disagree.
Oh dear, yeah, good. No, I like it. I'm on board with it. Well done. Well played. Gottlieb, I'm interested that apart from a little bit of, I suppose, Ben Hunt, cork speculation. Queensland really hasn't sent out its usual media distraction so far, you know, taking attention away from those manufactured media headlines that can pop up to and can, I suppose, distract everyone and the including the players themselves. It's been very quiet so far. Normally there is a little bit of smoke and mirrors to stop the media coming up with its own headlines.
Maybe. Well, there is still one more training session. So in previous years, Jonathan Thurston would be the one who took the dive, pretended
yes.
like he was injured. Maybe
or
Dylan
Cooper Cronk.
Slater would fall down.
Yeah.
Cooper Cronk. Someone would fall over and pretend they were injured.
Exactly.
Look, no one was ever pretending they were injured. I was here last year when Jonathan Thurston went down with that knee injury. He looked pretty unhappy about coming off the field. So, look, there is this idea down south that everyone in Queensland is part of some giant conspiracy, that there's always an injury cloud, there's always a fake drama.
There is.
Always fake. Sometimes there is fake drama because we're all bored up here and we're all sitting in Sanctuary Cove for a week and we've got nothing better to do than ask about Jonathan Thurston's knee. Sometimes there is actually an injury up here and we're just talking about it. Look, Jimmy the Jet's got an Achilles problem down in Sydney. No
exactly.
one's accusing the Sydney media of creating the conspiracy of will he or won't he play.
It's real.
Because that's
It's a real injury.
Okay, yeah. It's a real injury. Yes, I'll tell you that Jason Thurston, when we were filming him last year with his holding his knee with an ice pack, and he was telling us to bugger off in so many words, that was a pretty real injury. He did get up and he did play, but he certainly wasn't happy at the time when he went down with that knee.
You mentioned it before. I have heard that Sanctuary Cove is reasonably boring. Tell us about the location of the Queensland camp.
Well, Sanctuary Cove is on the Gold Coast. It's technically part of the Gold Coast, but it's about 25 minutes away from the Glitter Strip, but certainly not near any major beaches or anything like that. It's a golf resort, not a beach resort. So
yeah.
If you love your golf, if there's a couple of golf courses around here. If you love your golf, it's one of the great places in the world. It's very beautiful. If you don't like golf, it's probably pretty boring out here. I think the only people who are having more fun out here are the Kangaroos. So one of the daily traditions for the Maroons training staff is to come out to their field, which is purpose-built from a golf driving range. So the first job they have to do at the start of camp is walk the field to remove all the golf balls, and you still find a couple of hidden on the side of the field in the areas that they haven't gone searching. And the second job that they have daily is to scoop up all the kangaroo shit that's all over the field. So it is, every year we might get a kangaroo intruder on the field or bouncing around. It needs to be chased off with a golf cart. But outside of that, there's not a lot to do. I think there's a couple of nice pubs around. Some of the boys earlier in the week sort of make the most of that. I know tonight they're out to dinner at one of the local establishments, and I'm sure there'll be a quiet beer, as these camps always have. But, outside of that and golf, not a lot to do at Sanctuary Cove.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised they haven't given the job of picking up kangaroo shit to the players. You know, it could be one of those character-building exercises. Of course, the All Blacks have the leaders of the team going around and cleaning the change rooms. We're all aware of that by now. I'm surprised maybe they don't hand this job to the players themselves, just to, you know, put them in there, provide a little perspective, I suppose.
Well, I guess it would make for a great photo on the back page of the Courier Mail if it's Anthony Milford shoveling shit at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think that's probably, if they were going to have an initiation or some sort of team building, getting these highly paid Brisbane Broncos players and Gold Coast Titans players to shovel kangaroo poop at 9 in the morning isn't the best way to go about it.
Yeah, and meanwhile the Blues camp are on Coogee Beach, soaking up the sunlight.
Oh, I've been to Coogee. It's not as good as everyone in Sydney tells you.
How has the camp gone so far, Mark? Obviously, tiny, tiny injury clouds over Ben Hunt, Billy Slater's hammy, perhaps, and of course, Josh Maguire hasn't played any footy in over a month. How are they tracking? All good?
Yeah, well, all three of them trained properly today. So Ben Hunt's got that corked thigh that he's got the compression bandages on, and he went through most of the training session. He looked fine. Josh Maguire, the ankle injury you mentioned, that he's been out for quite a while. He was okay as well. He was perfectly good. And then Billy Slater, he's got that nick in his hamstring, and he went through a full fitness training session today, and he looked good as well. So yeah, as you said, minor injuries. There's a few other ones. Greg Inglis sat out most of yesterday's training, but he was out there fully today. So everyone seems to be A-OK. I think the biggest question mark was on Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
There were at the start of camp, there were whispers that people weren't totally sure that he was going to be right for next Wednesday. He seems to have pulled up fine. But I think they brought in Anthony Milford for that possibility. Not to start. I think Morgan would have gone to seven and Milford come onto the bench. But, they had that covered. But certainly he seems to be tracking well to be playing next Wednesday.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah, cork injuries, once you get to kind of day 3, 4, 5 after it happens, they tend to recover pretty quickly from personal experience.
Yeah, and also once you run once it sort of gets the blood flowing through it, sort of breaks it up a little bit. And they say that once they get through that first full training session, that the second and third become significantly more easy. So we'll find out on Sunday. They've got their biggest training session of the week on Sunday. That's when we really see the team in their full pace, trying out their backline. The cameras are not allowed to film any of that. So we'll at least see whether or not if Hunt's feeling any lingering effects from that corky.
That sounds very similar to the Blues. A big session on Sunday, and then they're flying down to Melbourne, as Simon Brunston in the Blues camp told me moments ago on the podcast. Is that similar for the Maroons? When are they flying down to Melbourne?
Yeah, they're flying down. Most of the players are coming down to Melbourne on Monday afternoon. Obviously, the captain and the coach have to fly down Sunday to be part of a big media event on Monday morning in Melbourne at the MCG.
Yeah.
But the rest of the team goes on Monday. So, and then they've got their captain's run on the Tuesday at the MCG, which is usually pretty light. They barely even let the cameras in at all for like five. They're only in for a couple of minutes, and then they sort of do their training session. So we don't really get to see much of that. That's one of the few training sessions that we can, during the week, we can all watch the whole training session, and fans can come down and watch the whole training session. Mm-hmm. But the captain's run, you get to film about 10 minutes of it, and then everybody's out of the stadium. No one's allowed in. So it's fully super secret.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff. I think the Blues players are staying at the Pullman in Melbourne, right at sort of Melbourne Park there. What about Queensland?
Not actually sure. Normally they try to stay as close. I'm not 100% sure on their hotel in Melbourne, but I do know that they normally try to be as close to the stadium as possible just to make life easier. And, you know, when they're staying out at, when they're playing at Homebush, they're certainly not staying in the centre of Sydney. They're out in Parramatta area. So that they can get out to ANZ Stadium far easier, because that just makes life a lot easier on the Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. There was a piece on the Fox Sports website a couple of days ago about how the New South Wales camp decided to pair up their players for their hotel rooms. What's the sort of the situation up at Sanctuary Cove for the players? Is it sort of a similar pairing up situation, or have they got their own little hutches that they have to build? What's the go?
Well, they certainly have their roommates, and there's always interesting stories that come out of the roommate pairings in the past. So sometimes you want to pair an experienced player with a younger player, or put two young players together. And I think the most interesting one that came out of this camp as a roommate is actually having Ben Hunt and Cameron Munster rooming together, which is really interesting considering their fallout on Kangaroos tour when allegedly some punches might have been thrown, or some fisticuffs between the two of them. And yeah, I think it is very interesting that the two of them are rooming together in this camp. I talked to Ben Hunt the other day and sort of asked him, well, did you need to mend any fences? Did you guys need to have a chat and a coffee or something, or a beer at some stage? And he said, look, there was no hard feelings. Things happen, we're good mates, and he's still my roommate, so we're all good. So that was an interesting one that came out of this camp.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And is there any kind of system to how they pair them up, or is it all just kind of hand-picked the same way that those two were?
I think usually it comes down to position. I think sometimes it's a bit all over the shop. Kevy's last year, what he was doing was he put some experienced props with some younger props. This year, he's got the couple of inexperienced forwards together. And he's got Napa, and I think Napa and Jared Wallace are rooming together. So that's interesting for the two front rowers to be together.
Yeah.
It's not always as simple as you put your two guys who are in a combination together, or, you know, right edge or left edge, or your wingers or whatever. Some guys obviously have their fans. I think Josh Papali was saying the other day he goes back to his hotel room at night and he feels really old, because all the young blokes in the team are playing PlayStation. They're playing Fortnite on PlayStation, and he's got no idea what's going on. He feels like an old man, and he's not an old man at all. He just happens to be a different generation to the Valentine Holmes and the Cameron Munsters of the world.
Yeah, man. Fortnite has just become an absolute monster of a a thing, hasn't it? Everyone that's anyone seems to be all over that. I'm out of the loop as well, I must admit.
I think I have to unfollow Jarryd Hayne on Instagram because all he ever does is post videos of himself playing Fortnite and comparing his Fortnite scores to his teammates. So I think I'll pass on that.
You mentioned Jarryd Wallace and Dylan Napa, the two starting front rowers for Queensland on Wednesday night. Apparently there was a little bit of drama in terms of who wants to put their hand up for the first hit up.
Yeah, it was interesting. This is a story that came out of the Maroons series launch the other night, a big gala event in Brisbane City. And Dylan Napa was being asked, look, it's really prestigious to take that first hit up in Origin. We have so many great memories. You know what? You really want that, don't you? And he said, yeah, look, when I made my debut, I was debuting alongside Nate Miles, and he was the veteran. He was the first hit up, and I went over to him and I sort of sidled up and I said, mate, can I have the first hit up? It's my debut. I just really, really want it. I really want it. And Nate Miles turned to him and he told him to fuck off is the exact word that came out of Dylan Napa's mouth, is he told him to piss off. And so Napa walked off and said, okay, fair enough. I'll just take the second one. And then, the next game, Nate Miles is gone and Jarryd Wallace is in to make his debut. And he went over to Dylan Napa and he said, oh, mate, can I have the first hit up? Because it's my debut. I really, really want the first hit up. And Napa turned to Jarryd Wallace and told him to fuck off. So it's a bit of a tradition now that you get your own, you get the first hit up. And if once you've got it, you hold on to it. You don't let any of these young fellas come along, even if they've only played one less game than you.
Yeah, right. I kind of hope that that the Blues are kicking off just to see how this one shakes out, or maybe Greg Inglis wins the toss and then turns to Napa and Wallace and says, "We'll kick off."
That would be good. I'm one of these stories that come out of camp because when you get some of these guys away from you know the normal day to day of their jobs, sometimes the real stories come out and they can sort of open up a little bit. And this is what we love about rugby league. You know, as I said, we all remember the first hit up of so many origins. One of my favourite memories is Petro Sivanisiva being put on his butt, and he's one of my favourite players of all time. So it is good that the players themselves feel that same way, that they want to be part of those iconic moments, and they're also happy to have a bit of a laugh about it.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Oh, It's one of the great subplots that we look forward to in every Origin encounter. And I thank you, Mr. Gottlieb, for sharing a few of the other subplots happening in the build-up to Origin 1. I suppose you'll be flying down to Melbourne on Sunday, or are you being intercepted by one of the other Fox Sports 500 reporters?
Well, I think they're sending a few of our Melbourne friends on to the game. I'm pretty disappointed. I'll be in Brisbane at the Broncos Leagues Club doing a bit of crossing from there. So
no, you got
I'll be
shafted.
Enjoying the game with the Queensland faithful, where everyone says Maroon. That's where everyone says Maroon is the motto of the Broncos Leagues Club.
Well, enjoy the rest of the Sanctuary Cove camp and enjoy a few 4X as well, Mark Gottlieb, and thanks for joining the Splash.
No worries, mate. Appreciate it.
Well, a long one, but well worth it, if you ask me, as we went deep into opposing Origin camps during the build-up to Game 1 of the 2018 State of Origin series. Cannot wait. Really looking forward to it. We thank Simon Brunston and Mark Gottlieb for their contributions on today's Splash, and that'll do us for this week. I hope you, everyone out there, enjoys their weekend. Next week, we're going to build up UFC 225 and the Horn-Crawford fight, so plenty to look forward to. Cannot wait for that. Any questions, hit me up on Twitter, @Phil_Pryor, start a conversation, any kind of Origin banter, whatever. Hit us up as we build up to Origin 1 And until next time, next week, that's a wrap.